Shalom, shalom, everybody. Tonight, I want to deal with a subject that is very, very important to the life of the believer, and especially in these last days, as there is an awakening among our people concerning who we are and whose we are as the bloodline descendants of the true biblical Hebrews and Israelites. We begin to become aware once we understand who we are and whose we are. We become aware of the fact that our Father, our Heavenly Father's name is Yahuwah. And His Son, if we're going to use that term tonight, His name is Yahushua. And His Spirit is called the Ruach. And so, oftentimes, when we study scriptures, we tend to look at our Elohim in threes. Most of us have been taught in the Christian church in a word that's called the Trinity, the word Trinity. And I know that there are several churches that teach the Trinity, and many of them teach it several different ways. I've heard it taught the three are one, and there's three in one, or three make up one, or there are three distinct, separate individuals, but when the three come together, they do sort of like a Power Rangers move, and they all hit rings together and be like, you know, gods unite, you know, or whatever, and the three somehow merge into this one big old God. But what I want to do tonight is I don't want to talk about all the different doctrines of the Trinity. But what I would like to do tonight is to show you that there is no such thing as three gods in one, or the three gods are one. You will never find in the Holy Manuscript the concept of three gods. I don't even care if you say that the three gods are equal. Even that is a misnomer. I need somebody to give me the Shema. What is it? Is that how you pronounce it? How you say it? Shema? What is it? All right, the Shema is hear. That's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, right? Deuteronomy 6, 4. Would you get it in your manuscript, Deuteronomy 6, 4? Because we're going to get some understanding tonight, Zion. This is what it's good to see y'all tonight. This is what every Bible student should memorize. Every Hebrew Israelite on planet Earth should say this every day. You ought to wake up in the morning, make this the beginning of your prayer life if you like. In the afternoon, say it. In the evening, say it until you begin to believe it. All right, so let's find that in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Whoever has it, read it loud so we can make sure it's recorded.
Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our God is one Elohim.
All right, so hear Israel, hear O Israel. Listen, right here. Well, I hope I get to this outline. I gotta drill this in your mind. Hear, O Israel. This is Yahweh talking to His own people. This is Yah revealing Himself. Or for those who don't understand, when I say Yah, I'm talking about the person y'all call God, Yahweh. When Yahweh began to reveal Himself, this is what He said about Himself. Now, this is what I want you to understand. When we study the Bible, we should never try to say this is what Yah is trying to say. No. Yah says what he wants to say. And when he says it, he means it. So speaking to Israel, he said, "Hear, O Israel, Yahweh or Yahuwah, your Elohim is one Elohim or one Yahweh." So we know based on the word of Yah that Yahweh is one. No getting around that. He is not two. He is not three. He's one. This is going to mess some of us up tonight, but I really want you to understand where I'm going with this. What happened in most Christian circles, unfortunately, is what is called theistic evolution. Theistic evolution. Somebody said, what is that? It is, watch this. It's the concept of evolution where something starts at one level and evolves into something else. That's what evolution is. You know, it started here and in time it evolved into something else. So it's evolution applied to God. Or the theos, which is Greek for God. Which means this, that most churches have fallen into the trap of believing that the farther you go back in time, the older God gets. And the older God gets as you go back in time, the more outdated God becomes. So the further you go back, the further, the more outdated he becomes, and the less relevant he becomes. He becomes less and less relevant the further you go back. So he started off in one place. And he started off as Daddy God. And then through the process of evolution, he became the Son God, which is better than the Daddy. So we worship, this is what they say in the churches, we worship Jesus. And you say, well, let me show you something that's written right here, you know, in the Old Testament. Oh, we ain't Old Testament. We don't follow that. We follow whatever Jesus says. So what's really happening in evolution is, to them, Yeshua, or Jesus, they use that term, has now replaced God. And then they say that Jesus, they use the term Jesus, not Yahushua, then gave us something even better than him, called the Holy Ghost. So now, even if Jesus said or did something, because he's in the past too, we will say stuff like, well, we don't have to do what Jesus did because Jesus did that stuff a long time ago. I mentioned to someone about keeping the feast days, and they said, oh, no, that stuff is outdated. And I said, well, you do know Yahushua kept the feast. And they said, oh, but that stuff was he did that a long time ago. We're not operating according to that anymore. We are now operating according to the Spirit. So they have developed what's called, again, a theistic evolution. Now let me show you the theistic evolution once again. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth, is what the Bible says, but it's Elohim, gave us the creation, the Bereshit, of everything that is, and they say, he's the great God. So here we have Big Daddy God. Now watch the evolution. Big Daddy God made man in the garden, and man was so slow and so hard-headed and so ignorant that he couldn't keep one command, which was don't eat of the tree. And God was so mean, he kicked him out the garden and promised that he was going to die. And from that point on, this old mean God has been doing nothing but wreaking havoc on planet Earth. He killed everybody on the earth through the flood. And then after the flood, you know, he had a people and he killed a bunch of folk. And they keep talking about that. And then they say, and then he chose a people and gave them a bunch of laws. Put them under all kind of laws. Told them what to eat and what to drink and how to dress and how to talk. And he was the old daddy God. And nobody liked that God. And they'll even say stuff like this. You better be glad you ain't under that God, or that you weren't born during those times. You better be glad. You better thank him for Jesus. So who is Jesus in their mind? Jesus is a step in the evolutionary ladder forward from the daddy. So the daddy gets with Mary through some kind of spiritual union and has this beautiful little blue-eyed, blonde-haired, white-skinned baby who wouldn't hurt a flea. He's so nice, and he's so sweet and so kind. Oh, how we love him. Oh, he's Jesus. Jesus is in the morning. Jesus in the morning. We love Jesus. We loved you. We follow. Why? Because he's not like his daddy. His daddy had laws, but Jesus don't have no laws. His daddy had rules about eating and drinking. Jesus don't have no rules. We can eat whatever we want. His daddy had laws concerning celebrations, but Jesus don't have no celebration laws. So we can celebrate whatever we want. His daddy didn't like us in idolatry, but Jesus don't really care about idolatry. We can have idols as long as we ask for forgiveness. So we want Jesus over God. We want Jesus over Yahweh, the daddy, because Jesus is so nice. He's so kind. Yahweh demands too much. All Jesus said is love. Just love, honey. Just love. So therefore, we're going to follow Jesus. Well, then somebody said, well, you do know Jesus did follow the Father. They said, but he gave us the Holy Ghost. So now people will say Jesus was good while he was here. But what we need to operate on now is the Holy Ghost. We need to live and move by the Spirit. Because even Jesus, this is what they'll say, even Jesus didn't minister to every individual like the Spirit does. Therefore, as you organize your church around the Spirit, in the Spirit there is liberty. In the Spirit you can do whatever you want. So now we can have 41,000 different churches believing 41,000 different doctrine. And I'm not going to judge you, and you're not going to judge me, because you have no right to tell me how the Spirit is leading me. And I have no right to tell you how the Spirit is leading you. So it makes all the churches say, we don't judge other churches because we don't know how the Spirit is leading in that church. So they believe they can lose their salvation. We believe we're not going to lose our salvation, but the Spirit is leading them that way, and the Spirit leads us, but we all one happy family. They don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus. We believe in they don't believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus. We believe in the bodily resurrection, but it's just the Spirit working with them and working with us. Do you understand where I'm going? Do you know in these last days we actually have some places called churches that are heterosexual, which means the men still marry women and the women still marry men, but we also have some churches that are now homosexual churches where men marry men and women marry women. And the reason they can get away with that is because in the church, we are now not under the mean old daddy God who said that, you know, mankind shall not lie with mankind as with womankind, which is Leviticus chapter 22, verse 18, I believe, or 18, verse 22. No, we're in the New Testament. Well, you say, well, you do know Yahushua never talked about that. They said, no, we're under the Spirit now. And the Spirit is leading us to say, it's not whether or not it's a male or a female. What's important is that people learn how to love each other. So they have developed a theistic evolution. That the further we go into the future, the better and better God gets to us. Because the further we go into the future, the more we don't have to follow Old Testament God.
Leviticus 22.
That's not it. 18:22. Try that.
Okay. No, I didn't say 22, wasn't it? I'll just make sure I understood what you said.
Oh, yeah. Try 18:22. I think that might be the one on the mankind lying with mankind. So here's my point. A lot of times when Hebrews, like you and I, begin to come into the truth, one of the issues of contention is, what are we going to do with this idea of these three gods? The Father God, the Son God, and the Holy Ghost God. Oh, by the way, I better throw this out there. We actually have some people who not only have distanced themselves from Yahweh and have distanced themselves from Yahushua and the Holy Ghost, there are some people who are claiming that Paul, that Rabbi Shaul, has freed us from the rules and regulations of Yahweh. That when you show a person and say, hey, you do know you shouldn't be eating that because it's dirty, it's unclean, they'll say, but Paul said. Now, let me share something with you. I don't care what the subject is. You know a person has to be brainwashed if they will take a man's word over Yahweh's word. Now, I've never said that Rabbi Shaul was contradicting the Bible. But what I am saying is, if you think he's contradicting Yah, then you need to take Yah over him. There is a law laid down in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6, and that is, or 6, verse 4, and the law laid down in Deuteronomy is that Yah is one. If you continue to read the book of Deuteronomy, you will discover that he has also said, you do not add to nor diminish from his words. Anyone who speaks in the name of Yah and adds to the word or takes away from the word is to be rejected as a false prophet. And I don't care who he is. It could be your cousin, your uncle, your brother, your daddy. It could even be a prophet in the Bible. Because not all the prophets in the Bible were Yah sent prophets. The Bible has examples of some prophets that were sent by the devil. Not every preacher is sent by Yahweh. The acid test, or the litmus test, if you please, is that the preacher sent from Yah is always in agreement with Yah. That's the test. Now, don't lose me, Zion. This is very important that you catch this, you Hebrews. Even if Yahushua himself teaches against Torah, the first five books of the Bible. If Yahushua himself brings another message than what has already been brought in the Torah or the Tanakh, this is heavy, I know, for some of you all, he then must be rejected. I said, wait, did you just say we have to reject Jesus? I said, if he contradicts Yahweh, you do. It would prove that he was not the Messiah, but that he was a false Messiah because he contradicted Yahweh. Remember, there is no such thing as two gods. So then the question for tonight is, well, who is Yahushua? Heavy question too, I'm telling you. If we read something in the Bible that Yah says, talk about Yahweh, through the Tanakh, which y'all call the Old Testament, and then you read something in what you call the New Testament that you think is contradicting something in the Tanakh, which one of those should you adhere to? You should always adhere to Torah. Always. The test is Torah. In other words, when you're trying a writer to see whether or not this writer is true, you don't compare his writing to somebody who just wrote yesterday. If you want to know if a fella is true, you've got to take what he said and what he wrote and compare it to the Torah. That is what every true prophet did. And that's why when we study their prophecies, they're in harmony with the rest of the Bible, because they all the true prophets, kept and taught Torah, including the greatest of them all, Yahushua, our HaMashiach. He kept Torah. He never broke one yacht or one tittle. He never broke one yod. Not one word, not one exclamation point, not one comma. Every single thing Yah taught, he endorsed. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. And then the last few minutes, we will go through this outline real quick. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Yahushua is about to make his first open air sermon, which we call, as the king, it's his king's manifesto. He's getting ready to declare the words of the kingdom of Yah, the kingdom of Yahuwah. And as he begins to talk, he tells them, blessed are the poor in spirit, because the kingdom of heaven. And when you start in verse 1, seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his Talmudian came to him, and he opened his mouth and he taught them, blessed are the poor in spirit. First of all of those beatitudes are in the Tanakh. There is not one of those beatitudes that's not in your Old Testament Bible. Every single one of them is in the Tanakh. If I had time to teach that lesson, I would show you. Even when he says, blessed are you, and men will revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, that's also in the Tanakh. Remember what happened to Jeremiah. How they lied on him and got him thrown in prison and thrown down into a miry pit because they didn't want to hear the message of Yah. He said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they who? The prophets which were before you. In other words, you're not the first person and you won't be the last person that will be looked at strange for teaching Tanakh, for teaching Torah. When you start telling people about their goddess Astarte, which is Easter, they're going to throw you in a pit that has marred clay at the bottom, just like they did Jeremiah. When you tell people, hey, that bacon is off limits for the Hebrews, they're going to tell you, they might even go so far as to say, Hebrew, please, before I give up this, I'll go to hell. If me holding on to this will send me to hell, I'll go to hell then. Or they'll just stop calling you. Or they'll put your name in the street. Yeshua said, don't let that trip you out. Every one of my prophets was persecuted because they kept Torah. The ones that taught, the people that came along teaching you don't have to keep Torah, those were the prophets that prospered. Well, why did they prosper? Because they were giving the people what they wanted to hear. But when you get down to verse 17, because he says, you're the light of the world. First he says, you're the salt of the earth, which is again, Tanakh. He says, you're the light of the world, which again is Torah. I've called thee to be a light unto the world, light unto the Gentiles. So he's still always quoting the Old Testament, which y'all call the Old Testament. But catch this point. When he gets to verse 17, he says something that is very powerful. He says, think not, don't even let it come to your mind that I've come here to destroy the law and the prophets, which is to not. Don't think it. Don't let it come to your brain. Why? Because I can't change the laws and the prophets. I can't change Tanakh. And there's a reason. Because Yahushua is, watch this, he is Torah. Wait a minute. Reverend, what do you mean? Wait. I'm going to prove tonight in the last few moments that Yahushua cannot contradict the Torah because he is Torah. We just came out of a season where people started looking at the birth of Jesus, and it's so interesting. Because number one, we know he's not born in the winter. And number two, we know he's born during the feast called Sukkot, which is the tabernacle feast. But we get two authors in the Bible, two writers, who give us stories of the birth of Yahushua. And both of those writers say he had a miraculous birth. Both of them say that Miriam was visited by an angel who told her that the Holy Spirit was going to overshadow her and put in her a holy thing. And she would give birth to a son. And that son would be the Savior. He would be called Emmanuel. And I've told you this before. Iman or Aman means with us. And El is God, like Elohim. So this baby that you will have will be Yahweh or Elohim in our midst. We are also told, and you will call his name Yahushua. I know in English they wrote Jesus. That's not his name. I've told you all that a million times. The angel named him Yahushua. If you have a cell phone, a computer, you can go online right now. This room is wired. You can type in just this fast. What is Jesus' real name? And the first thing that's going to come up is the name Jesus is derived from the Greek word Yeshua, which comes from the original name Yahushua. Why is it important that we have to go back to the original name? Because the original name, Yahushua,
means Yahweh is, or our, or the salvation.
Yahweh is our salvation. Yahweh is salvation. So watch this. Two books give us that whole story of his birth and then tell us who he is. He's Yahweh's salvation, but he is actually Yah with us. So we don't see them talking about a new God on the planet or a new God on the scene. We don't even see him talking about a lesser God. And I'm not going to talk about that right now, but I want to show you something. There's another writer, though, whose name is John. His Hebrew name is Yochanan. And his gospel concerning the origin of Yahushua does not start in Bethlehem. Isn't that interesting? Everybody else thought it was important that we start in Bethlehem. Okay, let's start in Bethlehem where he was born, so that everybody could know his lineage and his royalty and the events surrounding his birth and how those events fulfilled prophecy. But when John wrote his gospel, John said, what those other fellows have written are true. But let me give you a greater insight to Yahushua. John chapter 1, verse 1. And I'm watching the clock, so I'm going to go through this kind of fast. John chapter 1, verse 1. And we don't get to verse 2 till we get to verse 1. I remember I was trying to talk to a fellow about this, and he wanted to run me all through the book of John, but he skipped John 1, 1. I said, hey, man, we can't prove who Yahushua is until we can get to verse 1. He said, no, man, we need to look at. Matter of fact, I think Jeannie was with us that night when we was over such and such house. And brother kept saying, no, man, look right here. It says he was baptized. I said, dude, wait, whoa, whoa. What does verse 1 say? What I'm trying to get you all to see, Zion, is that Yochanan was trying to elevate our thinking to a super spiritual level. John is not concerned at all with theistic evolution. There is no such thing in the mind of the Hebrew of God starting off as a old man. He gets older and older and meaner, and then finally he has this son who's so nice and kind, and he frees everybody from his daddy. And then you got this Holy Ghost who says, now you can do whatever you want. John knows nothing about that. That doesn't cross his mind. Nor does the concept of evolution cross his mind about us as humans or our creation. He fights against this kind of mentality of two or three gods by solving the issue in verse 1. He says, in the beginning was the Word. Isn't that in your Bible? And the Word was with God, or Yah, or Elohim. And then he says, and the Word was Elohim. Hold on. John, you mean the Word was his son? Not what I said. Let's read what I said again. I said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with Elohim, Yah. And the Word was Yah. Now watch this next line. The same. Do you see that in your Bible? Was in the beginning with Yah. Wait, the different was it? No, the same. It's in the Bible. The same was in the beginning. It's right in your text. Don't let a person take you to verse 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 until they come to an understanding of verse 1 and 2. If you can't understand verse 1 and 2, you will miss the whole gospel of John. I promise you that. The gospel of John will make no sense to you at all if you don't catch this particular point and idea. John starts his gospel by taking you to Torah. Did I say something just now? I think I did. Yochanan began his gospel by taking you, the reader, to Torah. He assumes, I'm not going to say assume, but he seems to assume that at least y'all read the first verse of the Bible. Jane, this is what I'm trying to say. He assumed that when you got saved, you didn't just get a New Testament. You know how they used to do when you got saved back in the day in the Christian church? You say, come on up, son. And the son come up, make me cry and say, you want to get saved?
Yeah.
So you want to confess your sin?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. We're going to baptize you next Sunday night. And then you baptize and say, and here go your New Testament Bible. Yeah. Now, any Hebrew with a grain of sense would know the worst thing you could give a person when they first come to the faith is half a Bible. Amen. What are we doing in church? What is happening in the fellowship? I don't know where we got all these weird ways and methods and teachings. The very first line that a believer who wants to follow Yahweh, the very first line they should learn is the very first line in the manuscript, which says, in the beginning, Yahweh or Elohim created the heavens and the earth. It's the very first line in the Bible. That's the first line you ought to learn. It says, and the earth, I'm going from memory now because I don't have it pulled up. And the earth was without form, right? And void. That's what it says in a lot of translations. And then it says something like, and it goes something like this. I'm trying to quote it from memory. It says, and darkness, you know what it says? Was upon the face of the deep. That means the world was covered in darkness. And then it says, and the spirit, that word there is the ruach of our Elohim, literally was hovering and brooding over the face of the waters, which really means he was fluttering. You know, like when a bird can stand in one spot? You can't see it, but that bird is actually moving at a particular vibration. He's able to become one with this atmosphere. And something's going on here. The Holy Spirit of Yah, which is not another God, this is the spirit, watch this, of Yah. Not a spirit from Yah. It is the spirit of Yah. It's the life of Yah. It's the breath of Yah. Was literally so close to creation that he could see his own reflection in the surface of the black water. And the Bible says that Yahweh said, do you see that line in your text? So it was not until we get this picture that we hear Yah speak for the first time. This is the first time ever that we hear Yah speak. And the first thing he said was, talk back to me, somebody. Let there be. And what happened? Ooh. Wait a minute. He's
spoke. His spoke was a command, which, may I say this, was a law, and the law was obeyed. What we then receive in those verses, and I'm not trying to make this difficult, but I'm trying to fight against this evolution thought. What we see in these verses, Zion, is not three gods. We see one Elohim examining a situation and then speaking to it. And when he speaks to the situation, after examining the situation has changed. Is anybody in this room with your preacher tonight? I want you to really see it. John takes that concept and says, let's start right there. Let's start right there. Let's start right there. In the beginning was the word. What do you mean? Didn't you read in Genesis where he said, and he said, in order to say, that means word. He said, right there was Yahushua. Where was he? With Yah? He wasn't separate. He was with Yah. Yah's words was with Yah. Why? Because Yah's word is Yah. I'm going to say it like this. Yahweh is his words. And his words are Yahweh. If you take all his words and just give them a title, it'll be called the word. So the word of Yah is Yah. And Yah is the word of Yah. Once you get outside the word of Yah, you're operating under something totally different. You're not going to ever, ever see Yah if you never, ever see his word. Now, let me share this. Let me share this because I want to at least, I want to at least get to point one. My goodness gracious tonight. So the word of Yah has a very, very, very important role to play in the scheme of things concerning creation of the universe and us. Without him speaking, Yah would never be revealed. If there is no word, there's no revelation. The word of Yah is what reveals Yah to us. That's where John is going when he says, in the beginning was the word was with Yah, and the word was Yah. The same word was in the beginning. Okay, my time is almost up. Where does your words come from? What enables us to hear words? Physically speaking. Okay, vibration of the vocal cords, right? All right. What causes those vocal cords to move? Light, but you said it earlier. Breath, air. Breath, breathing through your vocal cords produces sound, right? But watch this. But that sound coming through your vocal cords only actually become words when it's connected to what? That's still physical. You're right about that. Let me rephrase the question. Who said that? Thought. It is thought behind the breath over the vocal cords that enables us to have words. It's the thoughts that are revealed through the words. And the thoughts only come from, now please catch this, your thoughts come from your heart. Your thoughts are from your heart. I know people keep talking about it's the brain. I'm not talking about the Western idea of the brain as a muscle. Because my brothers and my sisters, I know several people, and some of y'all in the room with me tonight, brain can tell them one thing, and heart do a totally different thing. Somebody was thinking that they was going to get up at a certain time. Heart said, yeah, right. Your brain told you, now next time make sure you turn left. Your heart said, no, I'm going right. Your heart is the real you. I don't really care much about what you have logged in your brain. What we want to know is what have you logged in your heart? David at one point had to confess. He said, you know what? It's thy word have I hid in my heart, or protected in my heart, or found a lodging place. When he was talking about the word, he was talking about Torah. Yeah. Why? That I might not sin against him. So watch this. Then Yahushua is Yah's words, right? I told you he's the word of Yah. In the beginning was the word. Which means he's the revealer then of the very heart of Yah. That's why there can't be a contradiction. He's not contradicting Yah. He's revealing Yah to us. One time he was arguing with the Pharisees around between verses, I think chapter 6 and 8, he was arguing. And he just stopped and said, how come you don't understand my speech? He said, oh, I know why you don't get my speech. Because you don't know my father. And because you don't know his words, you don't know my words. Because I only speak what I heard my father say. And then they tried to kill him for that. And he was like, I don't get it. What is this? What's this hostility? Because humans have always been hostile to the word of Yah. And there's no difference today, Zion. We say we love the Bible, but we don't read it. We say we love Yah, but we don't follow his words. And of course, Yahushua then is the revealer of Yahweh. What time is it? Okay, I'm gonna let it go, but I'll just touch this. And if y'all want me to finish this lesson next week, then we finish it. Okay, all right, I'll pick it up next week. Let me just touch this then, and I'll let it alone. But he's also the eternal companion. Write that down. Of Yahweh. There has never been a time where Yah's thoughts and Yah's heart and Yah's words contradicted one another. Never. Yah has never been schizophrenic. He's never been like us, say one thing and do another. He's not like us. Matter of fact, there's a verse in the Bible that says he's not a man that he should lie. He doesn't lie to himself and he don't lie to you. Yeah. Say it again. Is that the verse? Numbers 23 and 19. That's what I like about this new modern day fellowship, because we can look up, we can fact check and get verses right on the spot. Hallelujah. He's not a man. Listen, you will never find one part of Yahweh teaching one thing and another part of Yah teaching another. It's impossible. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh your Elohim is one. So if you're talking about I'm going to church and I'm not under Yah's laws, then let me share something what you're really saying. You're saying that some kind of way Jesus, which I'm just using that term because that's what they say in church, that Jesus and his Father are on two separate pages. His daddy is concerned about food, but Jesus ain't. His daddy's concerned about how you dress, but Jesus ain't. His daddy is concerned about how you worship, but Jesus ain't. His daddy is concerned about how you pray, but Jesus ain't. His daddy is concerned about how you live and get along with one another, but Jesus ain't. Jesus only concerned with that you love him. But you cannot love him, I see your hand. You cannot love the heart of Yah without loving Yah. I declare to you that the Jesus that's being taught in Scripture is not the Yehoshua. I should say it like this. Let me clarify that. The Jesus that's being taught in the churches today is not the Yehoshua of the Scriptures. He is a made-up deity that is overriding the words of Yahweh. Talk to anybody and show them a verse in the Bible, and they'll ask you a dumb question like this. Is that in the New Testament or the Old? And you say, what do you mean? It's in the Bible. Yeah, but if it's in the Old Testament, I mean, we ain't got to do it. Evolution. So you think you've evolved, and now you're greater than the people in the Old Testament, just like now people think today's man is smarter than Cro-Magnon man or whatever man that was in the caves. They brought it into religion, y'all. That's what I'm trying to show you. Whenever you show somebody the Scriptures, the first thing they want to ask you is, where is that in the Bible? Yeah. And if you say it's right here in the Old Testament, they'll say, we're not under that anymore. If you say not under the Old Testament, then what about Yehoshua? Because Yeshua is Yahweh in the flesh. And then that makes them feel funny. They go, well, we're under Yeshua, but we're not under Yahweh. So what they're revealing to you is, they might not say it with their mouth, but they're revealing to you the heart. And the heart is declaring, I'm trying to tell you, two gods.
Wow.
I'm going to stop tonight because of my time. I thank you all so much. We will talk about this next one because this eternal companionship is deep.
Yeah.
And Yahushua defends it to the death, literal. He defends his companionship with Yah to the point of the death on the cross. That's how important it is to him that he lets people know. Me and my daddy have always, me and the father. Why? Because I'm the father's words. Then we're going to see the eternal self of Yah, that Yeshua is the eternal self of Yah, that has never been a change in Yah or Yeshua, and I'll prove it in Scripture. I'm going to show you a verse that says, Yahweh is the same yesterday, for today, and forever. They change is not. I'll show you that in the Old Testament, and then I'll show you a passage in the New Testament that says, Yehoshua is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'll show you that. And then, of course, we'll talk about he's the eternal word. And we'll I'm going to take a picture of this outline so I won't forget it, and we'll bring this up. And you already got it? Okay, and we will pick this up because I'm telling you, this will change your life, Zion, if you catch this concept. One Yah, one faith, one baptism, one master who's over all, in us all, and through us all. Hallelujah.